Side on all them crazy murderers will never run from inside. You try to keep me down cause you see no joy. All them knows them from, so you call a man a boy. I ain't a can shall see, open up your eyes.
The thing that makes Judaism dangerous to everybody, to every race, to every nation, to every idea, is that we smash things that aren't true. We don't believe in the boundaries of nation state. We don't believe in the ideas of these individual gods that protect individual groups of people. These are all artificial constructions, and Judaism really teaches us how to see that. In a sense, our detractors have us right, in that we are a corrosive force. We're breaking down the false gods of all nations and all people because they're not real.
Here we go, folks. It is Wednesday, October the 11th, 2023, and you are listening to today's edition of The Ugly Truth broadcast. Welcome to the program, folks. Hope you're all doing well. It's been about a month since we've been together, not because I've been unplugged from things, but rather because I've been very busy. I actually was planning to do a follow-up program to the most recent one that we aired dealing with the discussion. I think it was called the Shura, that was taking place with this group of Jews in Israel talking about Judaism's commands for taking slaves, Gentile slaves, and what a Jew was allowed to do and not allowed to do, and in particular, taking Gentile women as sex slaves. And we've divided that discussion up into three parts. We did the first part. It's an hour-long discussion, so we did the first part, which was 20 minutes. We are going to do the second part, which we were going to do before things literally blew up in the Middle East. But nevertheless, it's all connected, folks, as you're going to see. Today we will not be talking about, specifically, we will not be airing or including that discussion that took place. Rather, we're going to talk about what is going on. Now, folks, there is a lot of noise out there, a lot of chatter, a lot of discussion. Generally speaking now, years ago, I used to jump right in, whenever something was happening, with my own take on what it was. Now, however, I kind of step back and let things, kind of quiet down, calm down before I step in, because I want to make sure that what I'm saying is heard and that it's understood, okay? And it's for this reason that, obviously the war that's taking place now, the slaughter, the massacre, is three days in the making, 4 days in the making. And I'm only getting to it now in terms of doing a program. Let's see, where do we even begin with it, folks? One of the reasons, I guess, that I didn't jump right in, why we didn't jump right in, was because this was something that we have been expecting now for a decade, but specifically for the last year. The readers of the website will recall that a year ago, when the elections took place in Israel, and the result of those elections was that the most right-wing religious, and folks, don't get me wrong, okay? I'm a right-winger myself, okay? Socially, conservatively, religiously, all of these things, I'm a right-winger. So when I say the word right-winger, when I use the term right-winger, I'm not using it in the sense that you hear in the West, where a right-winger is disparagingly described by the left press, the left Jewish press, as being somebody who's backwards and, that they are driven by backwards ideas concerning a woman's right to kill the child in her womb, or the right of, somebody to declare that they, that they're not really a man, but rather a woman. When I use the term right-winger in this case, when we're talking about Jewish right-wingers, what I'm talking about, folks, are Armageddonistas, meaning these right-wing types who are yearning for Armageddon. They're yearning for not for World War III, but for World War Z, meaning the world war that is going to usher in the Jewish state as the headquarters of all political, social, religious, whatever decisions. Okay, so understand that. But anyway, a year ago next month, actually November, I talked about the dangers that everybody on the entire planet now faced as a result of this new right-wing religious government that had come to power. Netanyahu, obviously, we already know that he is a religious nutcase and he is out to start World War Z. Netanyahu was intimately involved with the events of 9/11. He was intimately involved, even if it was through his surrogates and his henchmen in America that we call the neocons. He was intimately involved in getting the clash of civilizations started that saw the destruction of Afghanistan and Iraq, and then under the Obama administration, the destruction of Syria and some of these other countries that were destroyed by this creature that was created by Mossad and the CIA. So I fully expected, and I warned, on this, on the website at least, folks, because I don't think I was doing, I can't remember if I was doing any programs back then or not. But I used this phrase over and over and over again, saying that what he had formed, Netanyahu, was not just a cabinet, a political cabinet, but rather a war party. That if you did a little bit of research into the backgrounds of some of these people, such as Smotrich and Ben-Gavir and some of these other people who had taken up positions in Netanyahu's new government, that it could only mean one thing, which was war. Big war. Big, big war. Okay, the war. The war that the followers of Judaism have been planning to bring about now literally for thousands of years, folks, thousands of years. This is not a new thing. This is not a Talmud thing or a Kabbalah thing or a Zohar thing, a Khazar thing. This goes all the way back to the very beginning of the affair, literally in the book of Genesis, with Abraham hearing voices in his head telling him that everything between the Nile and the Euphrates belongs to him. So we want to get that out there right away, folks, because unfortunately, too much of the discussion that's taking place these days, at least in the English-speaking world, is dominated by these various experts, and I use that word in quotations, folks, experts and researchers and journalists and all the rest of that, who say that everything that's taking place right now, this doesn't have anything to do with the holy teachings of the Old Testament. At least that's what it's called by the Christians, the Torah. This is all a new thing that began with the Talmud, this anti-Gentile hatred that we're now witnessing taking place in Gaza, that this is all a new thing, that this never existed before, and this simply isn't the case, folks. It isn't the case. I'm sure you can hear the aggravation and the frustration in my voice as I say this, because it literally is a daily conversation on the website that unfortunately far too people pay any attention to. They get themselves caught up in all sorts of other confusing and consternating ideas and theories and themes and all of the rest of that. And what it does is that it results in this mind clutter that has brought us to this point where we are right now, folks. And make no mistake about it. Barring some miracle, what is going to happen as a result of what is going on right now is going to be World War III. Okay. If you listen to all of the pundits, all of the people, especially on the right wing, the Nikki Haley's and the Mike Pompeo's, the Sean Hannity's, and I assume Glenn Beck, I can't say for sure because I haven't been listening to any radio since all of this happened, because I can't do it. If I want to keep what little peace of mind and what little functioning is left in my brain right now with everything going on, I can't deal with this tidal wave of stupidity that I'm going to hear on talk radio. Well, it's obvious, folks, these people have not learned any of the lessons of 9/11. Okay. They have not, and they clearly don't have not been listening to what Donald Trump has been saying now, since, 2016, which is that our main focus right now needs to be ending these wars, especially in the Middle East. They're all doing the same thing, and you can see where this is going based upon the things that they're saying. Iran is the target. Iran's the target. Iran is the, just as Netanyahu has been trying to do now for 40 years. He wants to see, he has to see Iran destroyed. And let's face it, folks, the destruction of Iran, the followers of Judaism, whether they're called Hebrews or Israelites or Judites or Judeans, Jews, as we call them today, they have been celebrating the destruction of Iran for the last 2,500 years. That silly religious festival that they have every year known as Purim, which again, folks, did not begin with the Talmud. Okay, it goes all the way back to the Old Testament. The reason for the celebration of this is to get the followers of Judaism into this mindset where they are celebrating the destruction of Iran, the Persians. So, that is where all of this is going. Where it will wind up, like I said, folks, only by some miracle will it not wind up there. Before we jump into that, though, I'm going to play an important soundbite that I just picked up yesterday, a very important one, that is going to set the stage for today's discussion. Now, the soundbite that you're about to hear features this horrible, horrible rabbi. He's one of these rabbis in Israel whose reason for being is to destroy the Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem and to replace it with the Third Temple. And it's a podcast. I think it's called The Jerusalem Lights or something like that. His name is Rabbi Chaim Richman. And he's doing this podcast with this Shabbos Goy Christian by the name of Jim Long. I guess they do this podcast on a regular basis. And it's only about a 2-minute soundbite, folks, but it's very telling on many levels concerning what we're dealing with right now. So we're just going to sit back here and we're going to listen to this for just a moment.
What will Israel's response be? Well, the Secretary of the Cabinet says this will be the last war against Gaza. This is going to be it right now. That remains to be seen. But, I think that people don't really understand the mentality that we're dealing with. I think they don't really understand who, if you can call them people, who they really are. Whether you like Jews, you don't like Jews, you think Zionists are evil, banding around these tired expressions, you have to understand what's going on here in Israel is going to, I've always said this, but now it's clearer than ever that it will determine the fate of all humanity. And you know what else, Jim? I just want to say this to our Christian friends, mm-hmm. Just to call it as it is and say it straight out, you guys are worshiping one Jew. That's a mistake. You should be worshiping every single one of us because we all die for your sins every single day. And that's exactly what's going on here. Yeah. We're all God's firstborn and we're dying for your sins right now because the Jewish people in the land of Israel are the bulwark against the orcs. Mm-hmm. Okay. The orcs are coming. Not to a theater near you, but to your home. Right. This is exact. And so now I want to talk about something else. Okay.
Okay, folks. No, this was not a comedy number. This was not a skit off of Saturday Night Live. I don't even know if that show is still in existence. But anyway, that's the real deal, folks. That is the real deal. He's a very powerful rabbi in Israel, and he is attached to a very powerful organization known as the Temple Institute. The Temple Institute's main goal here is to destroy that mosque, third holiest site in Islam, and to replace it with the Third Temple, replace it with a new temple that was destroyed the original one destroyed first by the Babylonians, meaning the people of Iraq, and the second one by the Romans. Okay. Now, what this little soundbite that we put into this betrays, folks, is the mindset that is driving everything. Everything. He says quite plainly to this Shabbos Goy Christian that you should be worshiping all of us, meaning all of us Jews. You Christians should be worshiping all of us Jews because we die for your sins every day. I know, folks, it's really, it's mind-boggling to listen to this. But, and folks, do not make the mistake of thinking that this is one lone nut. This is the mindset that has driven the entire Jewish state, experiment for the last 75 years. And it is the mindset that basically has driven all Jewish thought and behavior for the last, 4,000 years. This chosen people mentality that, that they have been created to rule the world. Jerusalem and Israel being the epicenter of all of that. Okay. They all think like this, folks, to some degree. They all think like this. It's just those who come out and who say it plainly and, without any fear of backlash. Those are the types that you're hearing here. But to some degree, whether it's, these insane right-wing, religious Jews in Israel who are out to start World War III or World War Z, as I refer to it, or whether it's, these, types in Hollywood that run our media and who insist upon, poisoning our brains and turning us into, servile little, complacent, dutiful and worshiping Gentiles bowing down before the Jews. You know, I'm just going to quote something very quickly here, folks, because it's something that's very, very important in understanding why these wars are taking place. There was a story back when Bennett was the prime minister, and he met with Biden, and he instructed, I think it was their first meeting, he instructed him that the prophecies of Isaiah are to be fulfilled in the creation of the Jewish state and moving forward from there. Now, people say, well, the prophecies of Isaiah, well, okay, so what's part of, what's in these prophecies? Well, here's just one of them, folks. The Gentiles and their kings shall come to your light and to the brightness of your ascension. You shall drink their milk and draw milk from the breasts of their kings. Strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the foreigner shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. As you devour their riches, they shall boast of your greatness and surrender unto you all of their gold and incense. And the children of those who persecuted you shall come bowing down to you, while all those who despised you shall fall prostrate at the soles of your feet. The sons of foreigners shall build up your walls, and their kings shall minister to you as your gates remain open day and night, so that the wealth of the Gentiles may be placed at your feet while their kings are led in humble procession before you. For the nation which will not bow down and serve you shall perish. It shall be utterly destroyed. Those are some of the prophecies of Isaiah that serve as the fuel for this engine, for this machinery of Armageddon, which the Jews, at least by appearances now, have unleashed with this war in Gaza, and which they intend to increase in the coming days and weeks and months. Now, let's talk a little bit about this war that's taking place. First and foremost, folks, I have received numerous emails from people saying that none of this is real, that it's all a hoax, just like Sandy Hook, that there are crisis actors involved in all of this, fake blood, all of the same nonsense to which all of us were treated years ago, beginning with Sandy Hook, and which, against which, yours truly and a handful of others, including the late, great, and greatly missed Mike Piper warned was a trap, that we should not allow ourselves to fall into this, that this is being done. This is an intelligence operation aimed at destroying our credibility so that nothing else that we say in the future can be believed. Okay. Which is exactly what has happened. Well, nevertheless, they're at it again, folks. I have gotten, like I said, numerous emails from people who are saying, you know, they're passing along nonsense that is appearing on various truth or websites saying that this is all a hoax, that it didn't happen, you have crisis actors, fake blood, all the same stuff. No, folks, this is real. It's taking place. It's real. This is not a big production. Now, does that mean that there are not individuals of the Judaic persuasion who are getting in front of the cameras and engaging in all of the theatrics and the drama for which Jews are famous? No, it doesn't mean that at all. I'm sure that there are plenty of them. But do we extrapolate from that, or conclude from that, that nothing happened? No, no. Now, let's just talk about the attack for a moment, folks, that we say was perpetrated by Hamas. We are supposed to believe that the build-up to this thing, which is unprecedented, nothing like this, none of us have ever seen anything like this in our lifetimes, okay? We have seen a few rockets being lobbed into Israel, bottle rockets. These are not, you know, these are not rockets, folks. They're, you know, they do some damage to the to pavement and things like that. And a few Israelis die from heart attacks. But as far as, you know, it falling on an apartment building and killing 100 people like, is happening now in Gaza, no, that doesn't happen. And so now we're supposed to believe that this operation took place and that Israel's intelligence service, which is the best in the world, that they didn't see it coming. Okay, well, obviously, folks, this does not hold water. The notion that Israel didn't know it was coming does not hold water. They know about everything. Everything. And yet somehow they didn't know this was, that this was, they're saying that this was an intelligence failure. No, folks, this was an intelligence victory. This was a landslide. This was a, gosh, what would you call it? I mean, it's just like winning the lottery for them. Okay. It has completely changed the politics of everything in terms of now Israel being given a green light to go in and to start World War III or World War Z, as I refer to it. They've been given the green light to do that. And all of the servile Gentile nations of the world, including the United States, are going to go along with it. Okay. That's number one. Netanyahu needed this, and he needed it now, folks, a year before the elections in the United States. This is the, you know, we hear every year about some October surprise that's coming. Okay. This began during the election that brought Reagan to power here in the United States, where the Iranians, you know, released the hostages, the American hostages that they had grabbed, after the U.S. embassy was stormed in Tehran. That's what this is, folks. This is the October surprise for the election of 2024. And the bullseye at the center of all this, folks, besides starting World War III and expanding Israel's territorial borders, the target of this is Donald Trump. Now, those of you who follow the website and who follow the program know that we have spent a lot of time, 7 years plus, in fact, talking about the real relationship that existed between Trump and Netanyahu and what Trump was really trying to accomplish with this peace deal in the Middle East, the deal of the century, as he called it, that later finally was given the name the Abraham Accords. And no, folks, he wasn't doing this because the Jews put him into power and because he was there to do Netanyahu's bidding. As we discussed on one of the recent programs, a fascinating book, which all of you all of you who call yourselves truthers should get your hands on is the book Trump's Peace by Israeli journalist Barak Ravid. Now, we discussed this on the program, previous programs, and we even had sound bites of various interviews that Ravid had done with the Israeli media, where he's talking about the truth with regards to the relationship between Trump and Netanyahu, that despite the fact that the outward appearance was one of them being close friends, that it was actually the opposite, that Trump couldn't stand Netanyahu, that Trump blamed Netanyahu for the collapse of Trump's peace plan, which would have seen the creation of a Palestinian state. And as you will recall, folks, in this interview that Ravid did with Trump, where Trump very clearly blamed Netanyahu for him not being able to finish his deal of the century, he said that, well, he used the F word in talking about Netanyahu. Now, folks, as I think I said on the last program, if you're Benjamin Netanyahu and you know that Trump is coming for you when he gets into office, that he's coming for you and there's going to be payback, and if you are Benjamin Netanyahu and you know that Trump, out of all of the presidents, with maybe the possible exception of John F. Kennedy, of all the presidents that have held office since Israel's creation, if you know that Trump is the one man who stands the best chance of succeeding in building a wall between Israel and the rest of the Arab countries and enforcing it with American military, political, and economic power, and that you have just destroyed this man's presidency, what are you going to do? Well, what you're going to do is you're going to start a big fat war before that president wins the election. That's why this war has started at the time that it has, folks. A year after this, new war party has come to power in Israel, they got this war started now because this is Israel's October surprise, to make sure that if Trump does manage to get reelected, if he's able to free himself from all of the legal and political shackles that right now, like I said, regarding the invasion of Israel by Gaza, and if even only half the numbers of Israeli dead are true, folks, which I seriously doubt. I mean, if there's any exaggeration or embellishment, it would be that. But nevertheless, if Trump manages to get through all of this and we do manage to get something of a fair election, the very first thing Trump is going to do is he's going to come knocking on Netanyahu's door for some payback. And Netanyahu knows this, and this is why he and this group of insane religious Jews that he has in his cabinet have decided to start this war at this time. Now, there are some other very troubling things associated with this, folks, besides the usual talk of war with Iran and all the rest of that, which I'm going to talk about here very quickly, try to pull it all together. Let's see, how do we say this? Okay, so we know that Iran is the target. Iran is at the center of the bullseye here. The destruction of Persia has been part of the Judaic plan, the Judaic paradigm, as I said, folks, for 2,500 years. For 2,500 years, these insane people have been getting together every year, dressing up in all sorts of costumes, getting themselves falling down drunk, and eating pastries made to resemble the body parts of these Persians who they say their ancestors slaughtered to the tune of 75,000 some 2,500 years ago. Now, at this moment, even though we have millions of idiot Americans, especially those of the right-wing Christian evangelical bent, who are posting all sorts of silly crap on their social media accounts, you know, praying for Israel. We stand with you, Israel. Israel's new 9/11, all the rest of that stuff. At this point, I don't think that the attacks in Israel are enough to convince Americans to jump into a new war. Okay. I think that for the most part, you know, it's easy to put a stupid meme up on your Facebook page of a lion, you know, the Lion of Judah and all the other stupid crap that they're putting up. But I don't think that they are willing to send off their loved ones to fight and die in a war of this type. That would change in an instant, however, folks, if the Israelis, if they pull off another 9/11 here. Okay. Now, there are several different, possibilities that I see in that regard. The first is, we've been seeing news reports lately talking about these death squads, these assassination squads that are coming through the southern border. Because of Joe Biden basically leaving our borders unprotected, and how the drug cartels, are bringing in all sorts of people, and especially people from the Middle East. I saw a report last night saying that hundreds of supposed Syrians, supposed, I say that, folks, are coming in through the southern border. And so, you know, if the Jews would like to see a repeat of what just happened in Israel, it would be very easy to do. Okay. You know, I said years ago in trying to, tamp down on the anti-Islamic hysteria that was building after 9/11, I said, look, you know, any enemy that is out to destroy the United States or to create some type of terrorist attack that would bring the country to its knees, they don't need nuclear weapons to do it. They don't need to fly airplanes into buildings or create anthrax or any other kind of biological agents to do this. All you have to do is to have a handful of individuals set up in teams armed with nothing more sophisticated than simple small arms, whether it's pistols, whether it's even just semi-automatic 22 rifles, okay, and to coordinate a series of attacks at the same time on the same day, you know, pick 10 major cities in the United States, have your team of two or three guys go, you know, each of them to those 10 cities, go to some crowded place, and at a certain predetermined time, 9 a.m., 12 in the at noon, whatever, and gun down 20 people and then drive away. The next day, Tuesday, same thing. Pick 10 other cities in the United States. Do the same thing. Wednesday, do the same thing. Okay, by Thursday, the country has been brought to its knees. Nobody's leaving their homes. All of the businesses are closed. Schools are closed. You've brought the country to its knees. And I fear that this is what the Jews are planning to do here in the United States. It's a totally believable story. It's a totally believable scenario because of what has happened in the last few years regarding our open border. Okay. And they're giving hints in that direction. They're talking about, as I said, you know, the terrorists from various portions of the Middle East that are coming through the southern border. And then this talk about these assassination squads. The other thing that, that I fear, and I pray doesn't, above all else, doesn't happen, would be an attack on Donald Trump himself personally. In the aftermath of the, assassination of Soleimani, assuming, of course, that it took place in the fashion that we are told that it did. There are some questions remaining about that. And we know that from none other than Donald Trump himself. When he gave this interview with this Israeli journalist, Barak Ravid, and he said that Israel didn't do the right thing with this and that there would be more to say about that at a future time. Another reason, by the way, folks, for Benjamin Netanyahu to be preemptively destroying Trump's chances of getting into office, because Trump said that there would be more to talk about at the right time. Now, in the aftermath of this assassination, Iran made several statements that Trump was going to pay for that crime. Trump was going to pay for it. So having said that now, it's already there in the back of everybody's mind, you know, that Iran has basically issued a death warrant against Donald Trump. If something were to happen to him, and if it were blamed on Iran, a shooting, something along those lines, then yes, folks, we would see the American people willing to go to war against Iran. And that is what I fear is coming. And I don't mean it that it's coming in the next year, folks. It could happen any time. I'm not talking about months or weeks or days. It could happen any time. Because, right now, the outrage in America, like I said, it's not enough to convince the American people to go off and to get involved in a new war in the Middle East. Okay. But nevertheless, they are outraged. They're engaged in the usual business of, it's easy to get all, to beat your chest and to get yourself all worked up over something happening, you know, somewhere else to someone else. But, you know, a week from now, it's going to be forgotten. And therefore, the Jews, the Zionists, whatever we want to call them, they understand that before that passion subsides, they need to capitalize on that by doing something really, really bad. And I fear that this is what's coming here in America and in Europe. And especially to the person of Donald Trump. You know, there's an old saying that dead men tell no tales. And Trump saying that there would be more to discuss concerning Israel's role in the killing of Soleimani, in addition to all of the other things that he's planning to do, folks. You know, those papers, those documents that he took with him from the White House, and which, precipitated this FBI raid on his home, and which now have been used to bring criminal charges against him for violation, I think, of the Espionage Act or something like that. What's on those documents? What's on those documents related to Israel? For example, Israel's role in the assassination of John F. Kennedy. Israel's role in attacking the USS Liberty. Israel's role in 9/11, Israel's role in COVID, all of these things. And so I fear that what they are planning to do is something along the lines of what they allowed to take place this past weekend with supposedly hundreds of armed Palestinians from Gaza crossing over into Israel and killing, at last count, it was somewhere over 1,000 Israelis. I fear that they are planning to do, just like with the Twin Towers on 9/11, okay? They understood that, you know, for full effect, it wasn't enough just to have these planes fly into the buildings. The buildings had to come down. And I fear that in order to achieve full effect of what it is that they intend to do, namely to get World War III started, that they are going to do something similar to that here in the United States. Now, again, folks, none of this should be a surprise to anyone. When Netanyahu and these nutcases came to power a year ago, it was a done deal. Like I've said on previous programs, you know, if you're one of those who likes to watch these cooking shows, okay, and, you know, let's say that you've got one of these videos up and you turn down the volume, but you can see the ingredients that they're assembling. You know, you've got tomato sauce, and you've got oregano, you've got some garlic and some onions, and you've got some ground beef, and you've got some type of pasta. Okay, it's easy to figure out what they're making. You don't have to wait until the end of the program to know that they're making some kind of dish featuring a tomato meat sauce and pasta. Likewise, when we saw the emergence of this new government in Israel, basically a modern-day representation of the same zealots and sicarii that existed when the Jews were at war with the Romans, this became a done deal. And, you know, as that audio that we played earlier, folks, featuring that horrible rabbi talking about all of the world bowing down and worshiping the Jews. That's the word he used, folks. He didn't say giving them honor, giving them respect. He said worshiping, okay? There's only one entity that people are supposed to worship, which is God. The Jews don't believe this. They believe that they are the physical representation, manifestation of God in the world, and that it is our duty to worship them. And part and parcel of the process of this, folks, is that the world as it exists today has to be destroyed and has to be remade in a way that is more cooperative and conducive with their plans. Now, today's going to be a shorter program, folks, because quite honestly, there's so much information involved in all of this, and you know, I kind of came into the program today with a million different things on my mind, and I wasn't able to get everything organized in the way that I would like to. So I'm not going to, as I said, folks, you know, there's so much noise out there, and I don't want to add to that, and I certainly don't want to add to any confusion. But I think that I have covered some topics here today that will give you, you know, a little bit better perspective. And these are things that we will be expanding on in subsequent programs. Yeah, folks, I've got my little office built here. Now I've got a quiet place where I can work and think. So I will be doing my programs on a more regular basis. One thing I'm going to touch on, which I meant to touch on at the beginning, but again, folks, my brain is just kind of all over the place right now. And something that I want you to think about in the interim between now and when we get together again, God willing. Just a few months ago, in April, as a matter of fact, former Prime Minister of Israel, Ehud Barak, tweeted something that I think will help bring everything that is going on right now into a little bit better focus. Now, a little bit of background on Ehud Barak. You know, just like in all political systems, you've got a right, you've got a left, and you've got the middle. Here in America, you know, we have the Democrats and the Republicans, and they're divided over a lot of different issues. Now, in Israel, it's different. The difference between conservative and liberal and left and right basically is differences over, not substantive differences over important topics, but rather nuanced differences. Like, for example, the Israeli left, they are very westernized. They're very, and they're very careful. Okay. They're very careful about what they say, especially within earshot of Gentiles. Okay. They don't like crazy talk, crazy religious talk about taking over the Middle East and subjecting all Gentiles all around the world to a Jewish world government. They don't like doing that. They'll talk like that privately, but they say, you know, instead of marching armies across borders and doing that, instead, let's just control how the Gentiles think by controlling what they see on the media. Okay. And then you have your right-winger types, you know, who have the flying saucer on top of their head, or if you're one of the women, you've got the beehive up there, who are just, they're not afraid of the Gentiles waking up and figuring out what it is that the Jews have in store for us. And so they talk very openly. They talk about taking over the entire Middle East, just as it says to do in the Bible. They talk about Syria and Lebanon all being future, you know, neighborhoods within greater Israel. Now, Ehud Barak is one of those left-leaning types, okay? And he is the one who was principally involved in a lot of the negotiations when Clinton was in office over creating the Palestinian Authority and trying to resolve the Palestinian situation. Now, this was not something that Barak necessarily wanted to do. He wasn't philosophically leaning in that direction. But, you know, he was subject to a certain degree of arm twisting on the part of Clinton that forced him into that position. Now, in addition to this, Barak is a former general, I think a three-star general. I think he used to be our equivalent of the chairman of the Joint Chiefs. And he tweeted something back in April, where he said, I'm just going to quote it, write what he said on Twitter. It sounds weird to us, but in Israel's conversations with political parties in the West, their deep concern emerges about the possibility that if the coup d'etat in Israel succeeds, that's the coming to power of these crazy right-wing Jews, folks, that if the coup d'etat in Israel succeeds, a messianic dictatorship will be established in the heart of the Middle East, possessing nuclear weapons, and which fanatically wishes for a confrontation with the Islamic world centered around the Temple Mount. Okay. This is what Ehud Barak wrote, and which caused all kinds of stirring. You know, he had all kinds of people who were getting hot and bothered over the wrong thing, folks. They were saying, look, here's this former Israeli prime minister admitting that Israel has nukes. Okay, that's not the meat of the story. The meat of the story is where he says that what is coming to power in the middle of the Middle East is a messianic dictatorship possessing nuclear weapons and is fanatically looking towards a confrontation with Islam centered around the Temple Mount. Okay. That is what is behind the launching of this, and what is the source of the war according to the Gazans? It's called the Al-Aqsa flood, the Al-Aqsa storm. Okay. It is around because they know what the Jews are planning to do with regards to Al-Aqsa, that they intend to destroy this structure, either by blowing it up or making it look like it was destroyed by an earthquake, as we discussed on a previous program, and using this as the platform for rebuilding their temple. Okay. So these are some of the mechanics of what's going on in this, folks. And it's much, much bigger than I think any of us have ever dealt with. It's bigger than 9/11. 9/11, of course, the Jews who were behind this intended that this was going to be the thing that ushered in the conflict of civilizations, the clash of civilizations. And to a certain extent, it did. Okay, we went and destroyed Afghanistan. We destroyed Iraq. It morphed into, you know, the war against ISIS that saw much of Syria destroyed and Libya destroyed. But it didn't go far enough. And so, you know, the Jews being a very resilient and tenacious group of people, they have merely switched directions here now. And instead of only attacking America, as they did on 9/11, they allowed themselves to be attacked as well. And it all centers around what Ehud Barak is discussing here, folks, which is a messianic dictatorship being established in the heart of the Middle East, possessing nuclear weapons, and which fanatically wishes for a confrontation with Islam, meaning Armageddon, folks, centered on the Temple Mount. So anyway, that's it for today, folks. I realize I kind of threw a lot of ingredients into this stew, and it's going to take some time for us to cook all of this and to bring it to completion. But I think I have brought some concepts here, some ideas, that we can nibble on until, until the stew is done, and, which are going to provide some flavor and better understanding exactly what it is that we're facing. I'm not going to tell you to all go out and buy, food and water and all the rest of that, folks, because what is coming is simply, too big for that. Okay. Too big for that. It's something that, well, it's like nothing that we've ever seen before. And whatever remedial steps we may take, even yours truly out here in the middle of Pacific Northwest, you know, on a ranch, relatively remote, we're all going to be affected by this in a very profoundly negative way. But have no doubt about it, folks. Ehud Barak was absolutely correct. What we have here is an emerging messianic dictatorship possessing nuclear weapons and is fanatically determined to see Armageddon. So that's it for today, folks. Let's see. We should be back this weekend, God willing, God willing. And in the meantime, think about these things. Pull back from a lot of from the tidal wave, the flood, the storm of information that's coming out. And for God's sake, all of you folks, all of these crazies out there who are trying to confuse the situation and basically who are doing the work of our enemies by making an otherwise easy to understand situation much more confusing and consternating than it needs to be. Just shut them out. Pay them no mind. Do not give them a second's worth of your attention span. Focus on these other things here. You know, I had an email exchange with a very, very dear friend of mine last night who sent me something along the lines of this hoax business and how fake blood and crisis actors and all the rest of that. And I explained to my friend, I said, look, all of us who are involved in this endeavor of trying to wake people up to what's going on, you know, we have been given a very special task, you know, very, you know, similar in effect to the parable that Jesus gave us concerning the master who gave his three servants these talents and what they were supposed to do with these talents. You know, one went out and he invested it in something and it came back, you know, had increased the investment quite a bit. And he said, good servant. And then the other servant had done the same thing. He had gone and invested it in something and he increased the profit. And the master said, good servant. But the third servant had buried the money that the master gave him in the ground where it produced nothing. And the master was furious. And I see in much the same way, folks, those of us who for whatever reason have been given this blessing or this curse of having our eyes opened to things, if we go out and we spout a bunch of nonsense that is only going to work in the interests of our enemies, given the fact that it's going to drive people away from knowing the truth, then we are squandering this gift that has been given to us, this service, this mission that has been given to us. So please, I'm begging those of you out there who are inclined to listen to nutcases like Jim Fetzer and others who are saying, I don't know if Fetzer is saying it or not, I'm sure he probably is, that this is all Sandy Hook Part 2, that no war is taking place, please don't give them a second's worth of your precious time and attention. We have real battles to fight here, and we don't have the luxury of wasting any of our precious and dwindling resources on things like this. Anyway, that's it for today, folks. Until we meet again, God willing, let's all just do what we can. Do what we can to bring the light of truth to this. Let's pray for a miracle, because we certainly are going to need it.